Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Borosil Limited, hosted by Edelweiss Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Sahay from Edelweiss Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sahay.
Thank you, Michelle. On behalf of Edelweiss Wealth Management, we welcome you all for Q2 FY23 result conference call of Borosil Limited. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Shreevar Kheruka, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Kumar Chaudhary, Whole-time Director, Mr. Anand Sultania, CFO, and Mr. Swadhin Padia, Senior General Manager, Account. Now, I hand over the call to the management for initial comment, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Shreevar.
Yeah, thanks, Praveen and Edelweiss for hosting this call. Good afternoon to everyone. Borosil Limited's board approved the company's financial results for Q2 and the first half of FY23 on November 11th, 2022. Our results and an updated presentation have been sent to the stock exchanges and have also been uploaded on the company's website. Borosil's consolidated revenue from operations during the first half of FY23, that is from April to September 2022, was INR 487.7 crores. This is a growth of 35.6% over the same period last year. On a three-year CAGR basis, that is from pre-COVID period of April to September 2019, to April to September 2022, the CAGR growth of the company's revenue has been 17.1%. During the half year, the company earned a consolidated EBITDA before exceptional items of INR 71.4 crores, which translates into an EBITDA margin of 14.7% as compared to 21.4% in the corresponding period in the previous year. Profit before tax during this period was 59.8 crores, and this includes an insurance claim resulting in an exceptional gain of INR 5.1 crores. During the first half of the year, Borosil recorded a consolidated profit after tax of INR 44.7 crores as compared to a PAT of INR 25.4 crores during the same period last year. Average operating capital employed in the business, that is capital employed without CWIP and investments, was INR 561.9 crores. During H1 FY23, the company earned an operating profit before exceptional items and before income from investments of INR 53.8 crores, translating into an annualized operating ROCE of 19.2%. This is expected to be higher in the second half of the year, which typically comprises of a larger part of sales and would see depletion in inventories which were built during the first half. Coming to our business-wise performance, Borosil's consumer business comprising glassware products, non-glassware products under the brand Borosil, and its opalware range under the brand Larah, recorded sales of INR 358.1 crores. That is a growth of 48.6% over the first half of last year. Sales of glassware products were INR 87.6 crores. That's a growth of 38.8% over the corresponding period. Non-glassware products grew by 85% to reach a turnover of INR  145 crores. And opal achieved sales of INR 125.5 crores. That is a growth of 26.3% over the same period in the previous year. Those of you that have been tracking us for a while know that we embarked upon a journey a few years ago to de-risk our consumer products business from being primarily in one category, that is microwavable glass, and provide the business with additional legs of growth with the addition of new categories. We can confidently say that Borosil's consumer products division has nurtured three strong pillars, which provides a very solid platform for future growth. Each of the three verticals of glassware, non-glassware, and opalware have achieved reasonable size and are poised to grow further as penetration and frequency of use in these categories grow. We're also supported by behavioral tailwinds, such as the shift away from plastics. We continue to introduce new products for everyday use in storing, preparing, cooking, heating, and serving, and some recent introductions include cooking gas stoves, chopping boards, and a whole range of chopping products. The EBITDA margin in H1 FY23 for consumer products was 13.8% as compared to 18.1% during H1 FY22. The decline is partly on account of inflation in direct costs, particularly in landed costs of materials consumed, power and fuel expenses, as well as procurement of products from other vendors. However, one of the reasons as I mentioned, the procurement of products from other vendors, we had to procure whiteware and introduce into the market with Lara Designs. When I say whiteware, I'm referring to opal glassware. In order to keep the, let's call it, our customers supplied during the festive season until such time that a new furnace came on stream. And this has resulted in a reduction in the overall margins. Lara has been selling out its entire capacity, and the new furnace, which will expand a capacity from 42 tons per day to 84 tons per day, is expected to be fired in the next few weeks. The consumer division has dramatically improved its width and depth of distribution in general trade, and we have now expanded our reach to 23,000 outlets. This has been driven by IT initiatives and data analytics, as both these are helping the effectiveness of our sales force through upselling, cross-selling, and increased throughput. We continue to invest in our brands with awareness creation activities through various OTT channels, and we have launched engaging influencer and social media campaigns that are delivering very healthy metrics. Moving on to the scientific products division, net sales during the first half of the year of FY23 were INR 129.6 crores, which is a growth of 9.1% over H1 FY22. Our scientific product business comprises three ranges: lab glassware, lab instrumentation under the brand LabQuest, and primary glass packaging for pharma customers under the brand Traspec. During the first half of FY23, lab glassware recorded sales of INR 83.3 crores at a growth of 27.7% over the same period in the previous year. LabQuest was 10.9 crores at a growth of 18.4%. However, in the context of COVID, the primary packaging business, which had two very strong years in FY21 and 22, growing by 28% and 58% respectively in those years, has shown a decline owing to a much higher base and a reduction of COVID business. And therefore, Classpack achieved sales of INR 35.4 crores, which is a decline of 20% compared to H1 FY22. And this resulted in an overall growth of our scientific division in the first half of only 9.1%. The decline in sales during the current period needs to be read in the context of the higher base effect of the previous year, as almost 20% of the sale of the last year was related to vials for COVID drugs, including remdesivir and other drugs. Exports of vials were also impacted this year owing to the war in Ukraine. EBITDA margins for scientific products during H1 FY23 was 16% as compared to 23.6% in the first half of last year. Margins in the glassware business have been more or less in line with the previous period. However, the drop in the division's EBITDA was on account of lower margins in the Classpack business specifically. And in LabQuest, we have been investing substantial amounts of resources in higher staff costs as we begin to scale the team and have fixed expenses which are related to a larger facility that we've just moved into. This also includes R&D expenses for new product development, which have been expensed out in this period. As the business scales, these costs will get normalized. And as we continue to prototype new equipment, we will also have some higher consumption of materials during this period. The cost of prototyping will also reduce as a percentage as we scale the business. In Classpack, EBITDA margins was in low double digits. The drop in margins is mainly attributable to lower sales during the first half of the year, and somewhat attributable owing to higher consumption of materials and power. There's been an increase in the cost of tubing input for both wires and ampules. And in the last few months, we have also had higher process rejections as we continue to raise the bar on specifications and now have installed automated camera-based quality control on almost all our lines, which also initially increases the rejections in the process. Over and above this, we have also implemented other initiatives such as online printing, which will in the future increase the value add of our product portfolio as well as reduce the throughput costs, but in the short run increases the expenses owing to higher rejections. The company has also initiated conversations to take price increases in order to pass on more of the input cost inflation and restore margins. The company is widening its range of offerings to create additional levers for long-term sustainable growth. We have recently entered the filter paper market, which was hitherto dominated by a single player, and we should be able to service this market alongside lab glassware. Other new products have also been introduced in order to broaden our product offering contiguous to lab glassware. Under lab instrumentation, the company has identified two new subsectors of nutrition and environment and process systems to generate new business, and is seeing strong demand from food and soil testing laboratories as well as pharmaceutical R&D laboratories. Classpack is an INR 100 crore annual business and is expected to see healthy growth going forward, even though the first half of the year was not as good as we had hoped. We are focusing on onboarding new customers and also introducing new products to existing customers. Coming to balance sheet, as of 30th September, the company had net cash of about INR 56.5 crores. The surplus cash will be utilized primarily for ongoing expansion projects for both the consumer and the scientific business. The expansion in Lara's capacity, as already mentioned, is expected to be commissioned in this month at a project cost of roughly INR 195 crores. And the new borosilicate pressware facility of 25 tons per day is with an estimated investment of 115 crores, is on track to be commissioned in Q1 FY24. In the scientific products division, the company has planned to create a capacity in glass tubing due to uncertainty in global supply chain as well as increased costs. We are still not invested in this project, as there are some other interesting opportunities available which we are evaluating, and we'll come back to this subject with an update in the near future. The expansion projects already undertaken indicate our optimism about the long-term growth prospects of our business. The consumer business is supported by tailwinds and remains an under-penetrated market, providing Borosil a long runway of growth. The scientific business is expected to see steady growth in lab glassware, and the lab instrumentation, pharma packaging, opportunities in export, as well as new areas such as filter paper, as well as process systems, are looking extremely exciting to help grow the business and improve margins. Coming to ESG, Borosil has undertaken a structured program for implementing ESG initiatives. Last year, we had identified material issues and we took stakeholder feedback, and we have mapped a journey to address key ESG opportunities and identified priorities towards a greener manufacturing plant, social equity, and robust governance. High priority areas include management of waste, water, greenhouse gas emissions and energy, reduction of energy intensivity, recyclable materials for packaging, and data and consumer privacy. Over the next few quarters, we expect to be able to disclose quantifiable targets and transparently report performance against them. We had earlier announced plans to restructure the business of the company into two separate listed entities via a composite scheme of arrangement. We continue to anticipate that the entire process should be concluded by March of 2023. However, as previously mentioned, the time for some of these steps involved are not in our control, and we'll keep you informed of the progress in this regard. So with that, I would like to throw the floor open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Jay Modi from EIML Paris. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Couple of questions from my side for consumer business. So my first question was, over a period of 3 years, in this segment, we've seen a growth of around 20% CAGR. Will it be possible for us to break it down between in volume and value terms? What would the growth have been for us?
In principle, most of it will be volume. Value will be value. We took major price increases only this last year, owing to much higher cost inputs. Okay, which may have been in the range of 10-12% for this year, but that's not a CAGR. That's only for this year. So I don't have the data off the top of my head, but I would assume that 75-80% is volume and 20% will be value in terms of pricing. That's my assumption, but I may be wrong, so I'll have to come back and I have to check this.
Okay, sure, sir. And second was around the RM inflation. So we've seen a lot of headwinds. So how has the inflation been YoY for us, and which would be our biggest raw materials in consumer business?
No, so when we talk about raw material inflation, in the consumer business, we have three businesses. We have glassware, non-glassware, and opal. So all three have, your question has different answers for all three. As far as opal glassware is concerned, which we are manufacturing, the highest inflation has been in soda ash, okay? Although soda ash is a smaller percentage of our overall spend. But also equally, I would say your electricity costs have gone up, because electricity has some benchmark to crude oil, and similarly, natural gas prices have gone up to some extent. And this has also impacted, for example, packaging material expenses. So there are knock-on effects on all of these areas. But as far as the other two, which is the glassware and the non-glassware, as far as glassware is concerned, whatever we import, we saw substantial inflation in the transportation costs, that is the container freight expenses, which has, of course, cooled off substantially in the last month. But say for the last 9 to 12 months, container freights went from $1,000 to almost 6,000-7,000, so 6-7 times there was inflation, which has come back down to maybe $1,500. So that was one major source of inflation, which is transportation. And the other is, since we import raw materials which are made from energy-intense processes, the energy and the soda ash price which we face here has also impacted there. So, I mean, the answers are different, but broadly, I would say the overall inflation this year has been to the tune of 10%-14%, depending on the category, and we have broadly passed it on to the end customer because we have no other option.
Understood. And incrementally, are we seeing inflation cooling off or?
Inflation has substantially cooled off in the last, say, month or two, in fact. So we see that the transportation expenses have come down, the pressure on, whether it's paper packaging, whether it's energy. I don't see any further increase in the last couple of months. But yeah, so inflation has cooled down. On the flip side, there are certain contracts which we had entered which are expiring at the end of the year, and some contracts will have a higher price point from next year, because we were protected because of those contracts. So in some sense, in few areas, we may see little higher inflation, but I think that's marginal. The main bit of inflation, I think, has cooled off substantially.
Got it. And how has the festive demand been for us? Have you seen any impact because of the price hike that we've taken, or it has been up to the market?
I mean, I can look, this year Diwali was early, okay? And it was on October 23rd, I think, or 24th. So some part of the festive demand has also already been captured in the growth of the first half of the year, which is already declared. And you can see the numbers are quite, I mean, the sales revenue growth has been quite exceptional. So festive demand was quite strong.
Got it. And lastly, you mentioned that in borosilicate, we've done a CapEx of 115 crores. So how much does this expand our capacity by?
No, so that's press. You're talking about the press production. Press production is 115 crores. We have not done all of the CapEx. We are in the middle of doing it. The furnace will get fired in June or July of the coming year. So that some part of the CapEx is very much pending to be done. All orders have been placed. But we right now are importing that product, which will then be import substitution. So we don't have capacity in this area at the moment because we import it. So I mean, I cannot tell you how much the capacity expanded because right now it's zero. We don't have capacity except for imports.
Got it. And lastly, as we grow our non-glassware business, since a large part of this would be trading for us, so will this have an overall impact on our EBITDA margin?
Yeah, naturally. Look, firstly, I don't accept the point that it's trading, okay? Because trading is buying and selling without adding value, okay? We are not doing that. We start with the product design, and we start. I mean, Apple doesn't trade its phones, okay? Neither does Apple manufacture its phones. So, as an example, obviously we're not Apple, but I'm just giving you an example of the fact that we design our products, we specify all the raw materials, all the components which go into the product. We do extensive quality checking. We put our own brand name on the product. We do the after-sale service. So this is not a trading activity. Okay, that's the first point. But yes, obviously, given that we don't manufacture them, we don't employ the capital for the entire building and the plant and so on and so on. So the margins are definitely lower. But however, your turns, your capital employed is also much lower. So the way we look at it, the way I look at it, this part of the business, which we don't manufacture, is more on the ROCE basis rather than an EBITDA basis. Because if you're able to rotate your capital, 4 times in a year, then you're able to generate, even at a 8% EBITDA, you can, or 8% EBIT, you can generate 32% ROCEs. So I look at it more from a ROCE perspective than from a EBITDA perspective.
But so anytime in near future, we plan to have our own manufacturing for non-glassware?
I think this is seriously subscale. We need to grow the scale. And then, look, the way the world is going, that the geopolitical tensions between various countries, this whole model of importing products and reselling them, there's a threat to that particular model. So I think as far as the electronic goods are concerned, you need to have a whole ecosystem, which of course the government has been developing. For example, you look at, again, mobile phones, you see that now India is becoming a hub for manufacturing mobile phones. And therefore, even all the components that go into the mobile phones will start being manufactured in India. Once that happens, that builds a beautiful ecosystem for electronics in the country. And therefore, all your appliances, your plastic housing, your electronic components, your display, your display systems, your display technology, your cabling, all of that will become a part of that ecosystem. So I do see in the next 2-3 years, a lot of that going away from China into India, assuming we can sustain this space as a country. Because it's not just a question of assembly, it's a question of the entire back end and starting from, scratch, which of course we can't do all of it. So yeah, I see in the next 2-3 years, a substantial chunk of that will come to India. Now, whether we do it or we outsource it to somebody else, that's a different story.
Understood, sir. Just one bookkeeping question. What would be our ad spend in consumer business for the first half?
Same. We've been now. See, earlier we used to talk about 10%, although given that we've been able to scale up, that number may have gone down to 8%, but in that 7-8% range.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may please press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Pratik Dharamshi from Save Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Shiva. Couple of questions from my side. As you alluded, this time the margin pressure came from the raw material, freight, etc., utility. As well as if you look at the mix, this time around, obviously, the opalware capacity constraint were visible, and that's why the appliances and other had a higher share in the mix. So as things start normalizing from maybe next quarter onwards, as the opalware capacity also comes back, do you reckon the margin band which we used to do before should recover from next quarter onwards?
Yeah, I think the recovery will happen Q4 onwards, because Q3, again, is basis. We had our production is still not up for both the furnaces. So we continue to buy some products from outside, okay? But I think our new production line will be commissioned by the end of this month and hopefully stabilizes sometime in mid-December. So probably from Jan quarter onwards, we should have a substantial recovery in the margins. And also the other cost pressures which you mentioned, they also seem to have cooled off. So I think look, the goal is not just to recover, but we go on a track of improving our margins. And so we need to not just recover to the current level or to the level we had, say, last year, but improve upon that. And we are fully expecting that will happen.
Okay. And the second question was on the competitive landscape. Are you seeing any major changes on that as your one of the major competitors has come up with the new capacities on board. Have you seen any change in the market or things are as robust as they were before?
Mm-hmm. We don't see anything like that. I think all the players in the market are quite mature. And I think that's there's also been, there are many export opportunities also come up now with the challenges in Europe. What we see is that there were many European opal glass players who had to reduce or shut down capacity. Okay. So that market has expanded, the export opportunity at an attractive price has expanded. Okay. So I do foresee that at this moment, I don't foresee a big challenge on selling prices. And the fact is that all the players are quite mature, they're all organized, they have, let's say reasonable reserves. So nobody is taking short-term decisions here. And I expect that to continue.
Fair enough. And the last one on the breakups, obviously consumerware is broken up into three sub-segments, glassware, opalware and appliances. I understand you have been refraining from giving margins sub-segment-wise, stuff like that. But ballpark spread-wise, how meaningful will be the differential between an opalware and say an appliance? Will the spread be more north of 10%, double-digit or the direction?
I won't get you into the percentage, but there is a meaningful difference. And the reason, again, I'm saying is opalware has a lot of capital employed, which I answered to the gentleman before. And here, there's very little capital employed in appliances. So the manufacturing margin, we don't accrue in the case of appliances. However, on the flip side, we don't have the capex or rather the capital also deployed for that, right? So so it's both sides of the game. So one, it's improper in my view to look at the margins of the non-glassware products on a standalone basis and compare it to the margins of the produced products, because they're two different cups of tea, and we should look at the allocation of resources and whether both those resources are giving you the same return on your capital employed versus giving going into the detailing of the margins, because that doesn't add any value, frankly.
Fair enough. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditi Bhattar from Niveshaay.
Yeah. Hi. So I wanted to understand the glassback division growth opportunities and growth prospects. So the glassback division experienced a degrowth quarter on quarter also, and now when we are expecting a growth in the coming year, so do we have any specific plan or any specific opportunity that we are looking forward to, like any growth in the export market or domestic market?
Yeah, ma'am. So just to give you some feedback on this, last 2 years, glassback has grown, as I said, 28% in the year before and 58% last year, okay? So substantial growth number. This year, we were down by 20% in the first half. So one has to look at the context. The second point is that the pharma companies in the first half of the year all had challenges in filling their capacity. We are directly dependent on pharma, how many injectables they're filling. Okay, so if you look at news reports, you may have read things like Serum Institute destroying many million vials of the COVID vaccine because there was no demand for it. Okay, so obviously that means they didn't produce those vials either, right? I mean, they didn't produce extra vials. So the production of pharma injectables in the country was a challenge in the first half of the year across the board. I'm not just talking about COVID, but even other products. Now, from September, October on, we've seen a rebound in that because all the extra capacity that was built in the system, or a lot of that has been eaten away. Okay, so we expect a much more robust second half of the year because the demand has picked up. The other point is our exports in glassback have also done very well, and they continue to do well. But because of it, it got lost in the data because of the overall degrowth. Okay, so we will not move away from the guidance of our glassback, delivering fairly healthy double-digit growth in the coming 3 years, in spite of the decline of this particular year. So nothing changes the overall picture. Yes, every market goes through some short-term cycles. I think we've just seen the end of one short-term cycle, and it'll go back into the upswing category going forward.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. And I have one more question, that as you mentioned that we have already entered into a few contracts that might affect the margin for the year. So could you differentiate like how many long-term contracts or short-term contracts we enter into for the on the year-to-year basis?
Frankly, this is very small. Maybe like soda ash, for example, is something we do on a yearly basis. Okay. Now, so maybe hardly 5% of a cost, even less probably than that. So that could be an example of a long term, of a longer term contract.
Okay.
But mostly it's short term stuff. Mostly short term.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. You may please press star and one to ask a question at this time. We have the next question from the line of Manav Vijay from Deep Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Sir, first of all, my first question is on the CapEx that you are doing. So now two is what you have outlined, Lara and the borosilicate pressware, close to 300 crores become operational by quarter one of next year. Now, in total, I think we were doing a CapEx of around 625 crores and you had mentioned that everything will become operational by FY24 end. So does that still stand true?
Broadly, yes, it still stands true. I also mentioned that there was one of these CapEx, which is the CapEx for tubing production. This has been held for various reasons, but I think that will be done by FY24. And so, yeah, broadly, I think we'll be okay. Meaning we'd be deploying all this money by that period. If not more.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. My second question is on your class pack. So now, whatever decline that we have seen in sales, whether on a YOY or let's say or on a year quarter basis, so basically all the positive, let's say tailwind that you had of COVID are now done as far as this 15 crore quarterly sales is concerned. From here on, it will be business as usual. Is that correct to assume?
Yeah, broadly I would say yes. Directionally, yes, I would agree with you that's correct to assume. And we should expect a bounce back from Q3 on.
Okay, perfect. Next question is, two quarters back you had classified three assets for sale. Any progress that you have made on that?
Yeah, out of that, one has been sold, but that's after the quarter ended, so it could not be recorded in this particular quarter. It will come in the Q3 numbers. The other two are still, we're still hoping to find buyers. We've given the job out to various people, but, so far we've not found anything interesting for us to take. Out of the remaining two, one is in some advanced stages of discussion, the other one isn't. So, we are still hoping that we can conclude this by this year end.
Okay, and how much you have realized from the one asset that has been sold, sir?
I think it was about 24 or 25 crores, somewhere in this range.
Okay. My last question is, we had some fire and then we had some floods. We received, yeah. I think, some 5.6 crores in quarter one. Sir, what is the total claim that you have filed with the insurance companies and how much have you received so far?
Rajesh, could you...
So basically, the total loss was around 50 crores.
50.
And out of this, around 45 crores or 46 crores claims we are going to get. So out of this 45, 46, 40 crores already we have received and 4 to 5 crores we are going to get in a couple of weeks. And so that's all.
Okay. So basically not more than 4 to 5 crores actually is what is left.
Basically, out of these total claims, normally as per the insurance policy, we are supposed to get only 95%. So 5% is the deductibles. So out of 50 crores, so 2.5 crores is the deductibles and around 45, 46 they have assessed the claim. So we have lost around 1.5 crores.
Okay. And Shirivar, like the way you mentioned that you will fire your furnace in next couple of weeks from now, So in terms of the starting cost of that furnace, is that cost very high? Because I think that because once you will fire the furnace, you will have some extra cost before it starts to provide you with your desired quality.
Typically, these costs are part of the capitalization. These costs are part of the capitalization, and therefore they are included in the 195 crore estimate. However, just to give you some color, glass isn't, you know, it's not always that it goes exactly as per plan. So sometimes the costs are higher than the estimate, in which case either you capitalize more or then, I think by law you have to capitalize it, if I'm not mistaken, even if they're more than the anticipation. But yeah, till you declare that your production has commenced and you've got the quality, you capitalize these expenses. So I don't think that should impact your P&L for the quarter.
Sure. And then the last question, last quarter con call you mentioned that even after doing all the capexes, the worst case scenario in terms of debt will be around 200 crores. Now, does that number still, let's say, stands true? Maybe a few crores here and there, that doesn't make much of a difference. But
yeah, I don't think anything changed yet. Broadly, I think that's more or less.
Yeah.
We don't see any change.
Sure. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankit Minocha from MRLR Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think good afternoon, Mr. Kirka, and congratulations on the sustained growth trajectory, some good steps that the company has seen. I wanted to gain an understanding of how profitable is it for a retailer to sell Borosil product versus the competition. I mean, in terms of incentivization or in terms of the general trade retailer versus the competition, how do our margins look like, and how do we expect this to pan out over the next 1 year?
There's two ways to look at profit. Again, one is to look at an absolute value of profit, and one is to look at a rotational value of profit. Okay, meaning how. I think as far as margins themselves are concerned, we give in probably amongst the lowest margins in the industry. Okay. However, the retailer, I would argue, makes more profit from Borosil than he does from other products. And the reason is because we are able to rotate his inventory multiple times. So it sits on his shelf for a shorter period of time than other products would. Okay. And I think there's much more emphasis on that than there is on the absolute level of margin that we give. So if this was not the case, we would not be able to expand our retailer base to the 23,000 that we have. And in the last couple of years, I think we've been targeting expanding 1,000 retailers per year, but actually we've expanded more like 5,000-6,000 retailers in the last 2 years. So obviously the fact that we're adding new retailers, retaining our old ones, increasing the throughput means that they're very happy to work with us. So the proof of pudding is always in the eating, you know. So there you go.
Perfect. Thank you. And you spoke about distribution expansion. So are there any numbers that you're looking at for the next 1-2 years in terms of outlets or the distributors expanding the same?
Look, I think the universe for us would be somewhere around 30,000 to 35,000 retailers. Like I said, we are at about 23,000. I think for us, more important at this stage is to sell more through these retailers, through these relationships. We have multiple product categories, and many of them don't hold all our product categories. So there's much more value to sell more and increase our wallet share in these 23,000 than really, say, look to expand from 23,000 to 30,000. Okay. Of course, we'll keep working on those, but the thrust of the organization at the moment is to increase the throughput rather than add new.
Great. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may please press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Sharan Mandipur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is,
once the demerger process is completed, and what will be the size of Borosil Scientific, and for the next 3 years from after demerger, what's your target for that? Like you used to give target for Borosil Limited of 1,000 crore revenue and something like that, right?
Yeah. So look, Borosil Scientific will be nothing but the current scientific division of Borosil, and I think the turnover will be somewhere in the 300 odd crore range, maybe slightly more than that. That is for this year. If I look at the next, you know, say 3 to 5 years, probably that company, like I said, we added some new categories which are quite exciting, which are quite interesting, and we should think about doubling that revenue in the next, say, three to four years. Both there's organic as well as inorganic opportunities, and all of this put together should help us substantially grow the revenues of Borosil Scientific. And the consumer division, I think, already, you know, we'll be approaching the 1,000 crore mark. That's even in shorter period of time. Probably in the next couple of years, we should ideally hit that number.
Okay. And the laboratory equipment, actually, if I remember correctly, you mentioned that is going to be import substitution.
Yes.
And over a period of couple of years, do you see any competition within India, or still like it is completely import substitution and you're kind of monopoly there?
Yeah, I would not say monopoly, because monopoly is only one player. There are many players in the market, but all of them are import substitutions. Okay, so I mean, all of them are imported players. So at the moment, we are still seeing import substitution as the key. Imports are the key challenger for the or the key incumbent, and we are the challenger.
Okay, and you mentioned about the new product of paper filter, right? So
yeah.
can you give some more details on that? Like what exactly? Is it a packaging product, and is it going to be an existing plant with new machineries, or how we are going to set up then, and what mm-hmm. is the market size for that?
The market size is about 100 crores. So it's not all these markets for lab products, they are small markets, but all put together, they become attractive. Okay, so any one market is not so attractive. So it's about 100 crore market in India, and this is paper used for filtration. Filtration is a method to separate two materials, one from the other. Okay. So in the lab, you need to separate. So it's a separation technology. And here, filter paper is used. Imagine like how, you know, when you have coffee, you put coffee, you use filter paper also for keeping the coffee beans out of the coffee, or the ground powder out of the coffee. But so that's the basic thought process. But obviously, this is not for coffee, but this is for lab stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for explaining that. So it is going to be, you are going to produce that filter paper? And,
Right now we're not producing. It's an OEM that produces for us. But eventually, once you hit some scale, I think we'll start producing also.
Okay, sure. I think thanks for the opportunity and explaining all details. I really appreciate Borosil management always like being transparent and sharing all the details. All the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one at this time now. We have the next question from the line of Amrish Kakkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just to get some additional color on the non-glassware, trying to understand if you're able to share at this stage, I know you're planning to split it out a bit more in the future, as to what probably are the higher categories and whether we are doing as well in each of these, or we have, you know, some slightly better than the others. So when I mean categories, we're doing drinkware, we're doing appliances, and then we're doing the cooking support products. Right?
Yeah. So look, we have appliances, we have Hydra, and we have cooking utensils broadly. Okay. And I think all are doing very well. Obviously, some we started before, so that they have the advantage of a longer, run time with us. But I would say all three are doing extremely well. We are very happy with the progress. I'm not able to share more data, more information on that, but I can say that we have excellent traction across the board on all three categories, and we will continue building these categories, and we see tremendous market potential here.
Okay, thank you. The second question is relating to the lab glassware business. So I think you've already talked about export opportunities for potentially opalware as well as for glasspack anyway. Is there opportunities for lab glassware increasing because of dislocations in Europe or?
Yes. The thing is with, you know, within the case of Opal as well as in glasspack, the let's call the benefit of the advantage is that when the there's been a major disruption in the European, let's say, ecosystem for production, okay, and for us, when the customer is suffering so much, they fast forward all their onboarding processes, okay, in which case we have the benefit of being able to start up the business quite quickly from the time we get the inquiry, which only happens in some situations, otherwise they take a long time. But in the case of lab glassware, typically it's a higher margin business, so it takes longer for the production to be disrupted in terms of, because people can absorb a margin hit for a longer period of time as they're higher margins. So here we have not seen the same level of disruption yet, but I do anticipate that will happen in the future, and we have been positioning ourselves to sell into the European and to the American markets, and of course sales have increased, but the opportunities on the wires and Opal have been coming faster to us. But the broader theme is true for lab glassware also.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Pratik Dharamshi from Safe Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of follow-ups. One on the breakdown by channel. So compared to COVID period, how has the trend evolved online, offline, modern trade, etc.? Has there been a major change in it or the mix continues?
No, the trend...
And if you can quantify.
So again, we don't share the percentage split across the categories, across the channels, but I can tell you the trend broadly continues. The one thing we have seen is that large format stores have been hit post-COVID. I mean, even during COVID and post-COVID. I'm saying from the pre-COVID period till now, the major change, in my opinion, is that large format stores have been very badly impacted, and this is across all categories. Okay? So, there are very few large format stores which have really thrived or survived even. And like say DMart or Reliance Retail, you know, these guys have done even well. But most of them have suffered, starting from the bankruptcy of Big Bazaar, Future Group, to many people wanting to exit the country and so on. So, organized retail has suffered from the COVID times and continues to suffer.
Got it. And as you said, on the non-glassware appliances side, you are doing pretty well across the board, Hydra or other ranges. But just wanted to have your thoughts around, do we need any hero products in this range, or we are comfortable having a very, very well diversified portfolio and trying to grow across? What can be the success mantra? So we have our moat in glass-based stuff because of the pedigree we have. Do you reckon like glass-based gas stoves or some products which we have a edge and that can be our hero products or what are your thoughts on those lines?
Frankly, India is such a diverse country, and what's the hero product in North India doesn't necessarily translate into South India or East or West, okay? So every region is different. Yeah. So, frankly, product strategy is something that I think changes very frequently, and what the market demands change very rapidly. So, this is all tactical stuff, frankly, that we have a pretty interesting setup below us in our product management team, which allows us to try and get into products which are, say, the need of the hour. And this is very tactical and not strategic per se. Our strategy is to be in different product categories, but within that, which product should be the hero, which product we need to introduce, I frankly don't even get into those decisions because we have very strong teams to do that. And so I can't comment too much on this subject.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants may please press star and one to ask a question.
So if there are no further questions, let's close this.
Okay, sir. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you all for, you know, listening patiently and also asking questions. We just to summarize, I think we've had a very good growth in the first half of the year. Unfortunately, owing to various reasons, the growth may not have translated to higher profitability or substantially higher profitability. But I think that's short term. The main and most important thing is we see substantial growth going forward as well. And in both our divisions, scientific and consumer, we've only added to the base case of a growing market, of growing product segments, and the Borosil brand, say, being more and more recognized. And I would say the quality of the products, the quality of our distribution, the quality of our people has been improving. So the broader trends seem to be accelerating. And notwithstanding short-term margin pressure, I think by the end of this year, with the new CapEx being mostly through, with the new capacity coming online, margins will bounce back. And I think the next 2, 3, 5 years should be very interesting for both our scientific and consumer divisions. So thank you for your support, and I look forward to speaking with you in the next quarter.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Edelweiss Wealth Management, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.